America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, I hope you folks are in a cool place, because if you're outside right now, you are probably not feeling good, but I'm feeling pretty good. Welcome to the show tonight. That's right, folks, you got the American Adversaries 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour as we depart on this hot August afternoon here in Central Florida. No rain in sight, so please stay inside out of this mess unless you're in the shade or somewhere cool. And please listen to the show. We are going to be here live for the next 3 hours. And then don't forget, when we go off the air, Armed American Radio comes on the air. And they will take you live until from 8 o'clock till 11 o'clock tonight. So for the next 6 hours, you got the best in live radio probably anywhere in the nation right here in Central Florida on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, as I come to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio. And don't forget, for the very best in general dentistry, health-centered dentistry, and mercury-free dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. That's right, folks. I am Christopher Hart. I'm alone in the studio tonight. Everybody else said they had something else they had to do tonight. Carl's with his daughter. Nostradamus is out working a second job. Johnny Gunn's with his dad or something. I don't know what. And then I ran into Joe Ferrero downstairs, and he remind me there's a Todd Rundgren concert going on at Plaza Live downtown, so who knows, maybe they're all over there. But that's all right, because I'm here, and I'll be here with you live until 8 o'clock. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge, so we are going to be in good hands as we come to you on, actually, on 1520 WBZW, because right now the Rays are actually on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. But, of course, if you're listening, you can be also listening on AM 660, The Answer. And by the way, if you are listening on the computer or you have access to the computer, I'd like you to, after the show, go online to am660theanswer.com and look for the Dreams Come True banner and take the Dreams Come True survey. They'll ask you to become an answer seeker, and then you can take the Dreams Come True survey, and you will be immediately put in a drawing for a $5,000 prize. And in the survey, they're going to ask you about the programming here, how you like it, if you don't like it. And then they're going to ask you, for this is the most important part, they're going to ask you, what is your favorite show? And certainly, I'm hoping you'll put our show in there. But whatever show it is, please put it in there. Get in this survey. I would love it if someone in our listening audience, and in particular for our show, won that $5,000. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? All right, but it ain't going to happen if you folks don't enter. And once again, please, but if you like the show, put in the American Adversaries or Christopher Hart or one of the other co-hosts' name there, so that they'll take notice of us up yonder, or I should say out yonder in California, where corporate headquarters is for the Salem Media Group. All right, I have a big show lined up for us tonight, I hope, anyway. Sunny, our California glow girl, she will be joining us from California. And once again, we want to ask you folks to keep her brother Walter, mention him in your prayers, because he is his time on this, in this life, in this world, as we know it, in this physical reality, so to speak, is very limited now. So his name is Walter, and please keep him in your prayers. But Sonny will be joining us tonight. And you can join us at any time. I invite you, you know, since I'm here all by myself, we can talk about the other guys if you want to. So give me a call at 407-774-8255. Every now and then I like to come up with a theme for the show. And tonight's theme for the show, I want to refer back to on several occasions. I'm calling it Who We Need to Be. Who We Need to Be, as opposed perhaps to Who We Are. And you'll see as I go through the show tonight, hopefully as I develop that theme repeatedly in the show. All right. So, yeah, Sweet Home Alabama. Trump had a big night in Alabama Friday night, and we'll talk about that later on. But I want to start the show talking about Planned Parenthood, and in particular about the rally that went on yesterday. Let me get situated here. I got the studio a little bit late. Don't have my newspapers and my stuff laid out properly. Let's apologize for the delay here. But I was at the rally yesterday morning, and boy, it was a scorcher, too. It was, the sun was high, and it was hot, and there wasn't a cloud about, and scant little shade. But I was at the protest rally that was downtown. It's just actually, it's across the street and just south of the Citrus Bowl on Tampa Avenue there. And when I arrived, it was about 10:30. It was scheduled to start at 10 and scheduled to end at noon. And I had stayed till noon, a few minutes after. And by the time I got there, there were already a lot of people there. And I do mean a lot of people. The crowd was totally mischaracterized in today's Orlando Sentinel. I've got in my note, in my outline here, numbers don't lie, but the Sentinel does. Let me read the caption here under their photograph, which is on page B1. It says, protesting Planned Parenthood. And I don't know if it's just the newspaper I got, but for some reason, it appears to be something that was done purposefully, or at least it happened to each B section of the newspaper. If you've got a clean B section of the newspaper where it doesn't have this yellow tint all the way up and down, I'd like to know, because this one looks like it was done purposefully, or at least it's been done to all of them, whether it was on purpose or not. But anyway, the photograph is there. It shows, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people clearly. You can see another 8, 9, and if you include a little infant, we got 10 people showing here. And one fellow, a little boy, is carrying a cross. It says life or death. And it says, the caption says, protesting Planned Parenthood. And then under that it says, John Martis, 7, holds a large cross while standing with protesters outside of Planned Parenthood's downtown Orlando Health Center on Tampa Avenue on Saturday. That's where I was. Dozens marched against the healthcare facility. Let me read that last little sentence again. Dozens marched against the healthcare facility. If you want to call about 20 dozens, I guess that's accurate. So technically speaking, because it does have an S on the end of the word dozens, it could mean an infinite number, right? Right? Dozens could be a trillion dozens, for that matter. In this case, it was about 20 dozens. In other words, there was over 450 people there. But you would not get that impression from this photograph, and certainly not from the caption. No, you would think dozens. Well, I guess there was, I don't know, 24, 36, 48, maybe 60 people there. Well, let me tell you something. The dozens, the people you could measure in dozens, were the pro Planned Parenthood people who were there. And they had their pink shirts. They obviously knew what was happening. They were there in response. They had a banner they were holding. They stood up under the shade in this in sort of the entryway to the building there. And they didn't say anything. And but they talked amongst themselves, obviously. And you could see them over there. Occasionally they were sort of giggling and laughing. But for the most part, they were somber-faced. I counted them. There were 24. 24. Pro Planned Parenthood supporters there yesterday morning at 10:30 when I got there, and at 12:05 approximately when I left. Now, when I got there, there were well over 400 people already there. They had already done a head count and counted for almost 450 people. And I arrived after the head count, as were some other people arriving as I did. And probably at the peak of it, there probably were about 500 there. And I don't know what happened down in Kissimmee. They were evidently talking on the phone back and forth with the rally organizers down in Kissimmee and had similar results. Now, I wasn't really watching local news last night, but I did, just as I was talking on the phone, I could see as I was watching TV sort of in the background, but I had the sound down, I did see they showed it, but they didn't, they seemed to show a better, give you a better feel for the crowd than the Orlando's Lions Slantinal did. And then let's flip over, it says story page B4. Yeah, this is not a very important story, is it? Well, at least they covered it. I guess we can say that. And then you go to B4, and it's a black and white photograph. By the way, the one on the yellowed out page is a color photograph. Maybe that's why it got yellowed out. Maybe the machine made a mistake. Anyway, the caption under this photograph, where you see more like several dozen people. Once again, it does not nearly represent the crowd that was there. Now, either these guys got there real early or real late, or they are just lying SOBs. It says here, protesters march in a circle. Okay, if that's correct, then no. They were there when the crowd was at its peak. Protesters march in a circle outside Planned Parenthood's downtown Orlando Healthcare Center. Some preached, some sang, and some prayed. Now, that is correct. And then it says here, it says, dozens, once again, and this is the headline of the story. Dozens of activists stage protest at Orlando Planned Parenthood. Then you read down and it says, the first sentence says, a group of more than 150 Orlando area activists rallied Saturday morning in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic in response to recent videos which show Planned Parenthood employees in other states negotiating the sale of fetal tissue. So, now their dozens has turned into 12 dozen. So, once again, it's technically accurate, but it does not even represent the first line of their story. And, again, more than 150? Yeah, I would say 450 is more than 150. So, either we got an ignorant SOB, a lying SOB, or an SOB who can't count. Now, which SOB would you prefer to have writing your newspaper articles and stories? I prefer not to have any of them. But that's the size of it. I'm going to continue this conversation when we get back because, yeah, there was about 500 people there, but they're going to continue doing this. And next time there needs to be 1,000. And next time after that, there needs to be more so that these Planned Parenthood people see that the tide is growing against them. Once again, please don't go away. You are listening to the American Adversaries 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour. I'll be back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Once again, thanks for being with us, being with me here on this Sunday evening. And the Rays, once again, they're playing right now, and the game's going to go until probably 6:30. But when it is over, assuming it gets over before our show does, we'll certainly let you know. So in case you would rather listen to us on FM 105.5 or AM 660, The Answer, you'll be able to do so. Once again, I was at the downtown on the Tampa Avenue protest rally yesterday, protest march, I guess you could call it, at the Planned Parenthood clinic, which, by the way, folks, and I was told this is typical around the nation. This was one of the, if not the nicest and certainly the most secure building in that entire part of town. The nicest, most secure building in that entire part of town. Kind of ironic, isn't it? Because such horrific things go on inside there. But this, you would have thought this was, some sort of high intelligence level government installation. The way the building was built, the way it was designed, and the way the drive-throughs were designed, the way it had security cameras on every corner pointing in every direction. And I'm sure it's out of a sense of fear from them because of things that have happened in the past, not recently, but we do know things have happened in the past at abortion clinics and to abortion doctors, and that's not the right way to go about doing this, and people have realized that. But nonetheless, it's also, I'm sure, to keep a good record of what they're doing there, which brings us to the practice of harvesting body parts. If this is going to happen, this should be documented. And the documents should be retained just like you have to retain your tax records. And in this case, it should be indefinitely. But really, what needs to happen is we need to put an end to this practice. This Sentinel article quoted Michelle Herzog, who was on our show Friday talking about this event. She said, "What have we become in America to allow the youngest among us, the smallest among us, to be treated in such a horrible way?" And I would add to that, and of course, the most vulnerable among us. And once again, that kind of gets to my theme for the show, who we need to be. Okay, she's asking, what have we become? In other words, who are we? Is this who we are? What have we become in America to allow the youngest among us, the smallest among us, to be treated in such a horrible way? Well, that's who we are. We know it. But this is a chance to do something about it. And the way to do that, the way to, shall we say, not let a crisis go to waste, is to do everything we can to make sure everybody we know knows all about what Planned Parenthood is up to. And they need to be asked the question, is this really what we want to do as human beings? Would we allow someone to do this to an animal? And if we wouldn't allow it to happen to an animal, and I'm pretty sure we wouldn't, or at least most of the liberals, well, we shouldn't ought to be doing it to human beings. And yes, indeed, these are human beings. And people need to be educated about Planned Parenthood in particular. You know, they sell themselves as the protector of women's health. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs from this article yesterday. First of all, let me read this. Jamie and Candace Ostrander, a husband and wife from Melbourne, brought four of their six children to the rally. "We're for life, we're for babies, we're for women," Jamie Ostrander said. "I just don't want my tax dollars going to murder." And this was typical in the sense that people came from fairly large distances to get to this rally. Melbourne was typical. People were from all over Volusia County, Brevard County. I understand they were there from Polk County, even though this was just one of 14 in the state. And by the way, this also happened nationwide yesterday. Did you see anything on the news about it today? I didn't think so. Planned Parenthood did have a response for the article here. And as I said yesterday, they pretty well kept their silence. They had this one tall fella, and I asked him, I said, "How'd you get stuck with a security detail?" And he didn't say anything. I'm sure they were instructed not to say anything to any of the protesters. By the way, there were police there. Orlando police was there. They certainly had the situation well under control, and there was no violence. There was no threat of violence or anything of that sort. And matter of fact, also, just so you'll know, when the Planned Parenthood protesters, the people that I was part of the crowd, the people against Planned Parenthood, as we left, we cleaned up the area. Mm-hmm. We didn't leave a bunch of crap laying around like, you know, other people might. But Planned Parenthood did have, as I said, they had about two dozen representatives there, and they just looked like they were volunteers for the most part. I don't know, perhaps some of them worked there, I don't know, but they weren't dressed as though they worked there. And by the way, yes, they were doing business yesterday. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs in the article about Planned Parenthood and by. And this is the author of the article, Gal Lotan. I guess that's Gal, G-A-G-A-L. All right, Gal, whatever. "Planned Parenthood claims what it has been selling is fetal tissues at cost with the woman's permission to medical research organizations." Well, we know that it hasn't always been with the woman's permission. And what in the, you know what, do they mean at cost? Are they paying the woman for it? I don't think so, if she's donating it. And how would that make a woman feel if they did pay her for it? You know, 9 out of 10 women are going to regret it anyway. You think that's going to, heal the wounds? I kind of don't think so. Then it does quote someone from Planned Parenthood named Laura Goodhue. She's the executive director of the Florida Alliance of Planned Parenthood Affiliates. She says, "We are fighting back hard and calling this latest attack campaign what it is, part of a decade-long campaign of deceiving the public, making false charges, and terrorizing women and their doctors, all in order to ban abortion and cut women off from care at Planned Parenthood." Oh, I would have to say this, Ms. Goodhue, that the people who have been part of, and I would say a century-long campaign of deceiving the public, making false charges, terrorizing women and their doctors, all in order to push abortion and cut women off from good advice at Planned Parenthood. That's been going on for some 100 years since Margaret Sanger was around and touting her particular form of racism and genocide, known as geneticism, you could have genetically pure human beings. All you had to do was weed out the dumb and the ones who weren't capable of being pure and smart and good and all that. And, of course, that included anybody who was mentally incapacitated, people physically incapacitated, blacks, Southern Italians, and Indians, and an assortment of other people. You know, heck, we have too many people in the world anyway. Why not cull out the bad ones? That's Margaret Sanger's way. She's the founder of Planned Parenthood. And guess what? That's what they're still doing. And they are deceiving the public. You know, one woman, they had some prepared made signs. And by the way, the anti Planned Parenthood protesters had pre-made signs, printed signs, but many of them were homemade signs. And one of theirs was, "Don't take away our health care." And another one says, "Health care happens here." And Nostra Dennis and I texted back and forth a little bit. He went to the rally, too. Health care happens there, all right. Sure enough, does. Some pretty nasty, awful, bad health care is what happens there at Planned Parenthood. And it's amazing that they are able to get away with this with no scrutiny whatsoever. None whatsoever. And they obviously have the capability and the money to collect the video documentation of everything that they do there. And, of course, they can pixel out anybody's face who doesn't need to see any faces. But we need to have documentation. We need to have record keeping. We need to have every damn thing. We need to know all about it. Why? Because $500 million of our money every year goes into their pocket. So that gives us a right to know. And by the way, they are a nonprofit corporation. That also gives us a right to know each and every detail of their business. This is one of the disadvantages of having a nonprofit corporation. First and foremost, you totally now have put any sort of ownership you have in the public's hands. And you owe them records for each and everything you do. And I don't care what your cause is, whether it is health care for women, whether it is Tea Party politics, or whether it is some Clinton Foundation. If it is a nonprofit organization, the public owns it. The public has a right to know. We should be demanding those records. And we should be demanding them now. And speaking of now, I got to take a break. So please stick around. I'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Once again, I appreciate you being with me tonight here. I am Christopher Hart. The other fellows are off doing other things this evening. And once again, I'll be here live until 8 o'clock, though. And you can join me anytime, 407-774-8255. Jeff is on the bridge, so we're in good hands tonight as we give you our 250th Sunday evening show. 250 of these dogs going to be in the can after tonight's show. So you folks who have been listening to us since day one, I certainly want to thank you for that. And you folks who have tuned in along the way, I want to thank you all as well. And I hope all of you will continue to listen. And once again, if you have access to a computer, please go to am660theanswer.com. Look for the Dreams Come True banner. It's kind of like a blue and white banner, and it pops up all over the place. It'll be on the bottom or on the side. Just click on the Dreams Come True banner, and please take the Dreams Come True survey, and then you'll be entered to win $5,000, and it'll be an opportunity for you to tell them how much you like programming here and that this is your favorite show, and I hope it is. And you have until September the 3rd to do that. All right, the survey is going to run through September the 3rd, so please take advantage of it between now and, well, that's only about, what, a little over another week, so about 10 more days. So please take advantage of that while you can, and hopefully help us out in the process, and get the folks out there to corporate headquarters to sit up and take notice of the American adversaries and what we are doing, what we have been doing here, what we intend to continue to do as long as physically and financially possible. All right. As I was saying, the Orlando Sentinel totally misrepresented in the sense of how large the protest was yesterday. The article itself is accurate, such as it is, except, as I said, the impression that they give is that the crowd was much smaller than it actually was. But once again, hopefully next time the crowd will be even bigger. Because no doubt the people who were there volunteering for Planned Parenthood were reporting back to their superiors, so to speak, as to the size of the crowd and what happened. And it was, as I said, it was peaceful. There was a guy with a megaphone. They had a megaphone, and they were speaking mostly to the protesters, but there was also some things that were directed toward the people who were representing Planned Parenthood. Mostly, you know, please change your ways. Please repent. What you're doing is sinning. That sort of thing. Some of them who lined the driveway and allowed for... See, because technically speaking, the driveway was their property. So even though you could walk across it, you couldn't stand in it. And so so they kind of came to the edge of the driveway. And I noticed that the women were going up to the women and giving them an earful. And this one girl in particular, they were really giving her an earful. And she had the sourest look on her face. Most of them had somber looks, serious looks on their face. But they were definitely trying to persuade them. It was more trying to persuade than anything else. And as I said, they were doing business. They were able to get their quote unquote clients in and out without having them to face the music, so to speak. And I noticed that there was another gate where protesters could have collected around that gate too, but they did not. So they allowed so that people could come and go out sort of the back way. But as I said, it was peaceful. It was large, but hopefully next time it will be larger. The Orlando Sentinel piece of trash. Let's go to John from Oak Hill. John, thanks for calling. Appreciate you being over there on a Sunday for us.
It's all right, Chris. How are you today?
Excellent. Yourself?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I just wanted to make a statement or a comment for all the people out there that are on the fence and think that it doesn't make a difference, that believe so much in science.
Yep.
Are the people that like to put everything out, as soon as they find a single-celled organism or bacteria or whatever up in space, they're going to try to tell everybody that life exists in outer space. Now, you take a massive amount of the most complex thing that we know of, a human being, and they're going to they don't want to call it life. So I just think that they're hypocritical, and they don't think. They claim to be so smart with this and that. Well, if they'd put one on one together, they would come up with two. But they don't want to think about the most complex thing that God created, which I believe is human beings.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And you're absolutely right. Everything you said is correct. First of all, you're correct about we're the most complex and the greatest of all of God's creations by far. No question about that. Second of all, you are correct that should they find some one single celled amoeba or something like that, it's going to be a great revelation. Yes, we found life on another planet. And that they don't treat the embryo and the baby in the womb as human life. And it is. And it is hypocritical. There's no question about that. And that's why they deny that it's life in the first place, because they know if they recognize at all that that is a human being alive inside the mother, they've lost the argument. So they have to basically put blinders on and be a hypocrite. And they just wear that label. They just accept that as part of the fight. But it doesn't daunt many of them. Eventually it wears on some, but it's just something that they have just closed their eyes. And that's why I think, for as you've started out, people who are on the fence, those are the ones who are still looking around. Those are the ones that we can affect right now. Those are the ones who can be persuaded that this practice, in particular by Planned Parenthood, needs to stop. And I'm talking about carving up babies for body parts. It needs to stop. It just needs to stop.
You're 100% right.
And if these organs are not used for transplant into another baby, then it should not be done. It just should not. You know, it's just not a good, shall we say, human practice to do. This is more closely related to what the Aztecs and the Mayans used to do with human sacrifices. And I don't want to go as far as cannibalism, but it ain't far away.
It's ritualistic murder.
It is indeed that. It is indeed that. You're absolutely right.
There's as much information encoded on the DNA of a human being, whether he's out one day or full term, as there ever will be. And if they can't understand that, then they truly have blinders on.
Yep, indeed they do. Indeed they do. All right, thank you, John. Appreciate you being out there. All right, God bless you.
God bless.
Okay. Thank you. And he's right. Should we find some, you know, amoeba or something crawling around under the sand on Mars, don't you know that the big headline is going to be life on Mars? The headline should be life in human beings. And it is totally hypocritical that these people who say that they're sympathetic toward human beings, and they want to help human beings out, and they love animals, and we can't destroy the environment and all this. But then when it comes to human beings, well, that's okay. That's all right. See, that's, and I understand about the woman and the choice and all of that. Okay. And this though goes above and beyond that, because this has to do with killing human beings for their body parts. That's beyond, you know, a woman's right to choose. This has gone to a different level, and that's why this needs to be the focus of conservatives and evangelicals and politicians, because this is a question of life and death, and what is life and what is not life. You know, as I've mentioned on the show before, I studied philosophy in college. I got a bachelor's degree in it, that in political science, and then I went on to study master's program political science, did all the seminar coursework, but didn't do my thesis, so I did not get the master's degree. So you can call me a dropout if you want. That's fine with me. But the question of what is life is so fundamental and yet still inadequately answered. The Greeks the Greeks 2,500 years ago finally came to the conclusion, well, that everything's alive. Everything is. And this is before they knew really about atoms and subatomic structure and stuff like that, where you can equate life with motion. But nonetheless, they did say that that where we exist is the universe. That is the one in motion. All right, I'll pick this up on the other side. It's getting kind of deep, so I'll pick it up on the other side when we have a little bit more time to talk about it. You are listening to the American Adversaries on our three-hour classic Sunday evening tour, and we'll be here till 8 o'clock, so please stay with us. All right, welcome back to the show, folks, where we're discussing a little philosophy, holding a little philosophy class tonight on what is life to begin with. And as I was saying before the break, the Greeks, and I'll just say this, and then I'll kind of tell you what I mean. Both, I should say, the Greeks, the Christians, Greeks, Christians, and Native Americans, Indians, all pretty much came to the same conclusion about life. And let me tell you what it is. The conclusion the Greeks came to was that everything is alive. The universe, that which is alive, is in motion. They equated motion with life. And if you look at us or anything on a subatomic level, you'll see that it's pretty much in motion, all right. Everything is. It's spinning around and orbiting and all that good stuff going on. And they coined the phrase Gaia. Some of you may have heard the phrase Gaia. I believe it's spelled G-A-I-A. And John Lovelock, who is now Sir John Lovelock, since he became a global warming climate change proponent, Sir John Lovelock reintroduced the phrase in a book that he wrote about the Earth and its climate. Gaia is commonly thought of as in terms of Mother Earth. In other words, the Earth is alive. It's a Mother Earth type thing. But that doesn't go quite far enough. As I said, according to the Greeks, the universe is alive. It is life itself. And by the way, the phrase Gaia in John Lovelock's book, basically what he ended up saying in his book and in how he ended up being a global warming climate change proponent, I don't know, because his own theory provides evidence that it is a bunch of hooey and nonsense. He discovered that indeed the Earth's climate goes up and down all the time. He likened it to your air conditioner thermostat at your house, like your air conditioner running right now. Okay, how long has it been running? For probably most of you, it's been running the better part of the day, right? Well, at some point, it's going to shut off. And it's going to shut off because it's going to have cooled the house to the degree at which you want it to be cooled. But is it going to stay there? No. It's going to heat. Your house is going to begin to heat back up, right? Pretty much right away, as long as the sun's up, isn't it? And so eventually, guess what? Your air conditioner is going to come back on again. And it's going to repeat this process in order to try to keep your living environment within a certain temperature zone. In other words, only the most sophisticated air conditioning systems with the most sophisticated thermostats can keep any building or contained environment at a particular exact temperature. Okay, you're talking about refrigeration systems. You're not talking about air conditioning systems. And even those refrigeration systems have thermostats to allow for a fluctuation in the temperature. And he discovered that what controlled the fluctuation in the temperature on the planet had not a doggone thing to do with human beings. No, it didn't. Sure enough, didn't. Because there were periods way long now before human beings ever even was so thought of. You know, even before the dinosaurs. Even before any sort of what we would know as any kind of life, that the planet was fluctuating in temperature. But there was a form of life that was affecting it. The most basic and original form of life. Subatomic or single cell microorganisms. And it still does it, according to John Lovelock, to this very day. In other words, if the atmosphere has too much carbon dioxide in it, well, guess what? The subatomic organisms, and these organisms live in the topsoil, the top few inches mostly, and then the top, you know, foot or two of soil, the stuff we walk on. If you're walking on grass, you're walking on these poor old microorganisms, so please don't walk on the grass, because they're working hard to balance the environment. And they also live in the top few inches of the oceans around the world and waters. And what they do is, by consumption and excretion, they balance the atmosphere. In other words, Sir John Lovelock discovered that if there's too much doggone carbon dioxide, well, they start eating it. And then they excrete something that is needed in the atmosphere. Quite miraculous if you think about it. Because they somehow know which gas is too much and which gas ain't enough. And they pass the right gas. How do you like that? How do you like that? Everything is alive and intertwined according to the Greeks. And according to the Native Americans. We thought they were worshiping trees. No, they were worshiping what they call the Great Spirit, which resided not only in the trees, but in the rocks, and in the animals, and in human beings, and in the sky, and in the sun, and in every doggone thing. And if the Great Spirit is in everything, then you would certainly think that you would show a certain amount of respect for everything, because then you would be showing that respect to the Great Spirit, don't you see? So they saw everything as being a part of the life-giving force of the Great Spirit. Pretty similar to the Greeks, and then along come the Christians. And then they tell us that God is everywhere, God is all-knowing, and God is all-powerful. Isn't that saying the same thing? God is everywhere. That means God is in the rocks, God is in the trees, God is in the snakes, God is in the bumblebees. God is in human beings. God is in the stars and the sun. Everywhere. Everywhere. Knows everything and is all powerful. Sounds pretty similar to me. So, this concept of life being precious and being ubiquitous is nothing new. The people who are out of tune and out of touch are people with Planned Parenthood. People like Hillary Rotten Clinton, who say that is when a woman decides when her baby is alive and a human being is when it is alive and a human being, it is just so utterly pure, unadulterated ignorance. Just so, I mean, that is 100% grade A balderdash. And yet it is given to us with a straight face, and we are considered the ones who are radicals if we don't believe it. Well, I reckon that means that the Greek philosophers were a bunch of radical know-nothings. Native Americans, them too. And, of course, Christians, well, I guess we already knew that. Yeah. No. Life is precious. It is ubiquitous. And one of the reasons why we can be so callous about it is because we have somewhere along the way lost that vision of life. Indeed, we have. And we're paying the price for it. And if we continue to be blind to that reality that God is everywhere, is everything, well, then we are going to continue to allow this sort of cruelty and barbarism that is being conducted in the name of science right under our noses to continue. That and the atrocities that are going on half a world away. As people who, in the name of God, cut other people's heads off because they refuse to disavow their God, the true God, who is everywhere, who is everything. So thank you, John, for the call. And you folks, I'll give you your assignment for your philosophy homework at the end of the show. All right. Excuse me. Coming up on a break real quick. Once again, the game's still going on. When it's over, I'll let you know. But I'd like you to put this on your calendar, September the 28th. We're going to do a live remote broadcast at Cafe Positano. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have us a spaghetti eating challenge. We got some great contestants already lined up. We're looking for a couple of more, but we've already got, looks like we got four solid contestants. Reggie Branch, of course, Super Bowl champion fullback, Washington Redskins. He's going to be the main challenger, if you will. And the Predheads are putting up a challenger. The Predheads, of course, are the, if you know anything about the Orlando Predators, they're the ones who make those masks, and they have the big fan club and everything. They've been in there ever since the Mike McBath and the other fellows brought the team to town. Shriners are putting up a contestant, and the Wounded Officers Initiative fellows are going to put up a contestant. So we invite, if you have an organization and you want to get in on the challenge, just give us a call here at the station. And we'll put it together. 407-774-8255 is the number. That's for the station. Now, for the spaghetti eating contest, I suggest that because these people are going to bring team, they're going to be bringing their own like cheerleaders with them. So this might be a good event to make a reservation for if you want to make sure you get a table at that particular time that you want it. And to call Cafe Positano, and of course you can call them at this number anytime to make a reservation for any occasion, and for your own party, your own banquet, your own private get-together, or your own casual dining or takeout dining. You can call them over there at 407-774-8080. Don't forget, Tuesday night is prime rib night, and if you're going to go late for your prime rib, you definitely want to reserve it, and they will do that. So just give them a call at 407-774-8080. That's Cafe Positano, 407-774-8080. And, okay, so please stay with us when we come back. We'll have a whole lot more to talk about, and two full hours yet to go. You are listening to the American Adversaries Sunday night 3-hour tour, coming to you live right now on 1520 WBZW and AM 660 TheAnswer.com, where you too can take the dreams come true survey, and I certainly hope you will.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station, 1520 WBZW.
Apopka, Orlando.
Community events, financial news, weather, traffic, and more.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, the big wheel was turning and moving the crowd Friday night, wasn't it? Sweet home Alabama. That's right, folks. Donald Trump shook them up again. He shook up the world Friday night when he drew a huge crowd in Alabama. Estimates are some 30,000 people came to see Donald Trump speak in Alabama Friday night. And he gave them what they came for. He gave them an hour of off-the-cuff, no teleprompter, straight from the heart, Donald Trump. And he was good for what he was promised to be. And the crowd came away certainly dazzled, shall we say, as were many of the people in Washington. Once again, he's shaking them up, and it's good. I think it's a really good thing. I'm not like a lot of these people, like George Will and Charles Krauthammer, and I dare say Michael Medved. As much as I respect those two, and that would be Krauthammer and Medved, as much as I respect those fellas, I do not think that Donald Trump is destroying the Republican Party. What I believe is he is breathing new life into the Republican Party. He is bringing new fire, new spirit, new cause, new purpose, if you will, new enthusiasm to the Republican Party. And it is working. It is working for him, and I do believe it with the other stupid idiots who, instead of sitting around criticizing him, would begin to take note of what he is doing right. And he's obviously doing something and a number of things, I think, right. His support is growing. And by the way, I saw several reports. I did not see the speech the other night, but I saw several reports about it. And there were people that, at the speech that you would not ordinarily think would be at a white Republican man's speech, but they were there. And this one black fella said he was there with his wife, said he'd been a Democrat all his life, never voted for a Republican, and he would think about voting for Donald Trump. That is huge. All right. Do you think that he would have ever gone to a Jeb Bush and come away saying a Jeb Bush rally and come away saying that? I hardly think so. I don't think he would have gone to any. And I include Ben Carson in this. And it's not a racist statement. I'm just saying this black couple, I guarantee you, would not have gone to any of the other Republican candidates' rallies, and probably won't should they come to town. Now, I bet they'll go to the Democrat, but they went to Donald Trump's. This is what's got him really shaken, all right? Because his support is not just a handful of conservative talk radio hosts like myself. And once again, I'm trying to be as analytical as anything here, but I must admit, I do believe that what he is doing is what we need. Now, whether he's the right man or not, we shall see. That there will be the crucible of the test of time. But what he is doing is what we need. By the way, his support is broad-based. This is according to the New York Times. They did an article yesterday, a front-page article about his support. Amongst Republicans, he leads amongst women. He leads amongst evangelicals. He leads amongst moderates and the educated. And these trends, from what some of the talking heads are beginning to say on the news, also bleed over out of the Republican Party. You know, into that undecided or moderate or independent area. He's having the same appeal there. And if there are any Reagan Democrats left, I guarantee you he's having the same appeal to them, too. I guarantee it. And yet you still have a bunch of doofuses running around out there going, oh, he's going to alienate the Hispanic vote. I'm here to tell you, the Republicans can win even today, even in 2016, next year, without the Hispanic vote. All they need to do is get the conservatives who don't vote out to vote, or get the other, the moderates and the independents who wouldn't give the Republicans the time of day, to get them out to vote. And who's doing that? Donald Trump. Sweet home Alabama. He is, once again, as I said, this is not the people who, many of the people who came to his rally last night, Friday night, were not there because they are mad at the Republican establishment. That's a small part of it, but another part of it is they're mad at politics as usual. And third, they see in Donald Trump a man who is accomplished, who can actually get something done. And you just can't believe that amongst our politicians, especially when they're all professional politicians and their only accomplishments are in politics. And I'm sorry to say, that's all you can say about Marco Rubio, other than writing a book about his life experiences. He's been in politics all his life. He doesn't really know how to get things done. He demonstrated that, you know, teaming up with the gang, the other gang, members of the Gang of Eight, on that comprehensive immigration reform bill. Oh, boy. And now he's come out with a tax plan. He wants to lower the cap, the corporate tax rate all the way to 25%. Don't even bother. That's all you're going to do. Because people will look at that, they'll think that it should change things, and it won't very much. And then they'll say, well, I guess it's not going to work. Lower their rate, is it? Let's go ahead and raise it back up. You have to do things in a quantity where it will make a difference. And most of these limp-wristed Republicans are walking around with these limp-wristed plans. They're not bold enough. They're not strong enough. And they don't even come across that way. That's where Donald Trump is separating himself. One of the talking heads this morning on the NBC Meet the Press show said Donald Trump is a manly candidate, and he's making the rest of them look small in the process. And I've said not exactly that way, but I believe I've said something very similar here on this show. You know, he's showing them how to do it, and they're not paying attention. Because they don't want to. They don't know how to really get things done. This is, you know, and people, the arguments against Donald Trump is, well, he wasn't always a conservative. He's not a conservative in this, and he went bankrupt, and he was pro-choice. People don't care. People don't care where he was. They care where he is, and they care where we can go from here. And if you don't like the fact that Trump is popular, just look at it this way. He's popular in relation to something else, right? In other words, he's popular in relation to the other candidates. He looks good in part because they look so sad and sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not one of these folks who believes we have a great field of great presidential candidates here. If you want to compare him to Barack Obama, yes. If you want to compare him to Hillary Clinton, yes. If you want to compare him to the great presidents, no, we don't. Jeb Bush, although a capable man, would not make a great president. Neither would John Kasich. Certainly not Lindsey Graham. Carly Fiorina would not. Ben Carson, maybe. Donald Trump has the best chance. And a lot of people see that in him. And that's where a lot of his popularity comes from. And I don't see that changing. A few weeks ago, I said his odds of being the nominee were pretty much astronomical. They're coming down. They're coming way, way down. And I would say his odds of getting the nomination now are more like, say, 1 in 10, say, instead of 1 in a million. Because he does look so big compared to the rest of these buffoons. And I'm sorry to have to sit here and call them that. But they are just not stepping up to the occasion. We got huge, serious problems. And they're acting like, you know, oh, this is just another election. This is another, you know, they give it lip service, but they're not acting, and they're not presenting as though this is as important as we know it all is. Donald Trump is. He's putting it out there. He's putting it out there right now. And I think it's great. I think it's the greatest thing to happen to the Republican Party since Ronald Reagan. And I'm not calling him a Reagan. He's different. He's got his own style. But I'm telling you what, he is an energizer. He is a motivator. And he is a doer. And the nation knows it. Having said that, look out, because they're fixing to come after him. All right, but let's go to the phone line right now, because Eva's on the line. Eva, thanks for calling. Appreciate you being out there.
Yes, thank you, Chris. I was just saying that if all the Christians, and I'm going to get me a T-shirt and put I Vote Bible.
I like it.
And the reason being, if you cannot vote for a Democrat because of the life issue.
Certainly not if they are, you know, pro-life and all that business.
I haven't heard of a Democrat being pro-life in my life.
Well, Bill Clinton was at one time, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'm saying 60s, 80s, because
right.
I was involved in it from 88 on.
Yeah, okay.
And from that time on, they haven't. That's the first test to be anti-abortion.
Yeah, but your point about the numbers is correct, too. The Republicans have plenty of potential voters out there. They don't need to go after special interest groups. They just need to find their way, be emphatic about it, be principled about it, and the people will follow them. When you cater to this group or that group, the group sees it, and they see through it, and it's just not going to happen for the Republicans if they don't get it together and realize that Hispanics will follow good leadership just like anybody will. If they're going to play games, then they're going to continue to lose elections.
I agree with you. And one thing you said about Trump, he is a motivator, and that's what we need.
Absolutely. And we're going to need it not just to win the election, but we're going to need it even more so when the next president takes office, because we got a lot of hard work to do, and it's going to take some real motivating to get it done.
That's right. Thank you.
Thank you, Eva. Please stick around. We'll be back. All right. Turn it up. That's right, folks. Turn up the American atmospheres. The big wheel. That's right. The big wheel was turning up to Alabama the other night. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, so Donald Trump, once again, wowed them Friday night with a huge crowd, bigger even than old Bernie Sanders' Seattle crowd, or Los Angeles crowd, I'm sorry. And he went in and he told it like it is. And as I said, for tonight's show, I wanted the theme to be who we need to be as opposed to who we are. And I started out talking about Planned Parenthood. That's who we are right now. We don't need to be that. Okay. We need to be people who respect life. We need to be people who profess that what is inside a woman's body is sacred and needs to be treated that way. And if it has to be aborted, it should be handled with utmost respect and the dignity that it deserves, not treated as a piece of butcher meat. No, that's not who we need to be. Who we need to be are people who were out there protesting the other day. I'm not including myself in this. I'm including people in this who have been doing this for years, like Eva. Been doing this for decades. People like John Barros, who was there the other day. I had the honor of standing with him for a while. John Barros, of course, on our show now regularly, who every day goes down out and stands outside an abortion clinic downtown Orlando trying to turn women away and have them consider other possibilities. That's who we need to be. Brings me back to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is who we need to be as Republicans. Okay, we need to stand up straight and tall. We need to be proud. We need to be in people's face. And if they don't like it, we need to be telling them that's too damn bad. That's your problem, not ours. This is what we need to be as America. We don't need to be buying into this putrid BS that any old system's as good as ours. Oh, no, it ain't. We got the best system ever there was, and I dare say ever there will be. And that's mainly because it was handed down to us by our Creator, who our founding fathers looked to for guidance, and were answered in the affirmative. No, we need to stand up straight and tall and say we are Americans, and we are great, and we are proud. Because we are fair and we are just. And we do and accomplish what others won't or can't. And if you do not like it, that's too damn bad. And this is who we need to be. Because in this world, we can be polite, we can have manners and etiquette, but we cannot be weak. We have been emanating weakness for some time, for some great period of time. And I don't mean just Barack Obama. He is the epitome of it. He is the wussiest of all wussies ever there was to be a wuss. Okay? I'll hand you that. But he's not alone. He's got a whole other line of wusses that came along before him. And some of them were Republicans. Because they didn't stand up when they should have stood up. They didn't speak out when they should have spoken out. And they didn't fight the way they should have fought when they did fight. And so we get left in the lurch. We get left, you know, with the egg on our faces. Because we're the one who supported them. Right? Well, we're sick and tired of that. Yes, we are. But we also want someone who will be who we need to be. And that is what Donald Trump is showing us. And the, for the people out there who are saying that, that he is going to destroy the Republican Party and all of this nonsense, they are sadly out of touch. He is showing us the way forward, if you will, in terms of how we're going to have to deal with problems going forward. We're not going to have to, we can't deal with problems from the we can't do this or we can't do that position. We have to deal with the problems going forward. We can do this. We can do that. Let's find the way and let's do it. Okay? That's what he's all about. He was on a couple of the talking head shows this morning, and he emphasized when they were asking him, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? It's all about management. And yeah, he's right. He's right. You put the right people in the right jobs, you give them the task, and you get out of their way. It's not up to Donald Trump to solve all of our problems. It's up to the president, perhaps Donald Trump, to put the right people in the right places so that they get solved. No president, no one person can solve all the problems, but he can find the people who can do it. Who can do it? Remember that guy? We can do it. You can do it. We can do it. Just get the buffoons and the naysayers out of the way. And then watch what American ingenuity can do. And then there's this. Oh, it's all about the Republican complaint is it's all about his personality. It's just his personality. He doesn't have any real substance. Well, he's coming out with substance. He's come out with his immigration plan. He's coming out with a tax plan. But at the bottom, at the end of the day, in a way, they're right. It is his personality. And it is who we need to be in terms of his personality. He is big, he is bold, he is proud, he is not going to back down, he is smart. And guess what? Personality, when you get right down to it, we've talked about this on the show before. When it comes to electing presidents, you can go back all the way back in modern history, and the statistics show it is the president who is quote-unquote most likable who gets elected. We've talked about this on numerous occasions. Other people have talked about it. Other studies have been done. The person who is the most likable. Well, what is likability but a personality trait? Right? See, this is where the Republicans just don't get it. They think that, oh, the reason we're losing elections is because we're not explaining our tax policy good enough. Come on. While Barack Obama's standing out there flashing big smiles and talking big nonsensical words. Nobody knew what he was talking about, but they liked his personality better than they liked John McCain. They liked his personality better than they liked Mitt Romney. We called it likability, but it was his personality. You'd rather sit around and hang out with Barack Obama than John McCain, and who can blame you? You'd rather sit around and hang out with Barack Obama than Mitt Romney. And that might not be such a bad time either when you get right down to it. Was he capable of doing the job? No, but he had a better personality, didn't he? So he got elected, didn't he? So, once again, for the Republican, higher browed, we can't get down in the gutter. We can't make it just about personality. Well, then you're going to get your butt whipped again. because that's what people make their decisions based on. They want to feel comfortable with their president, and they can't feel comfortable with somebody who has a personality they don't like or don't respect. Now, when it comes to Donald Trump, not everybody likes everything he says, but they respect him for saying it. They respect him for backing it up. And they don't respect the others. And you can say it's as much that as anything else. If you don't like Donald Trump and what he's doing, then what does that say about the rest of the field? Right? Now we're being told that Marco Rubio's campaign, and I certainly presume Jeb Bush's campaign, are going to start going after Trump. They're going to start running commercials in states like Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Florida, where, by the way, Donald Trump leads all Republicans, including Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush, in the recent poll, most recent polling. So they're going to go after him. They're going to play their old attack games. But guess what? They're going to be Ahabs. They're going to be more Ahabs, like John McCain was an Ahab. Like the talking heads who thought that the immigration statements were going to bring him down, the Ahabs, the Megyn Kelly Ahabs. No, this Moby Dick is going to, he's going to keep swimming. And the more these Ahabs go after him, the punier they are going to look compared to him. And he's already a man fairly large in stature as it is. He's over 6 feet tall. So he is, Donald Trump, is who we need to be. Bold, brave, courageous, with a can-do attitude. That is who we need to be. And Americans who do have that attitude do great things. Like those three guys over there in France. You hear about them? That's who we need to be. They were bold, they were brave, unarmed, against a man who had an AK-47, an automatic pistol, and a knife, a razor knife. Unarmed. And by the time the cops got there, they had beat the hell out of him and hog-tied him. You think they'd have done that if they'd have been politically correct pajama boys? Oh, no, they wouldn't. They were Donald Trump's. They were bold. They were brave. They didn't think about it. They just did what needed to be done. And by the times the cops got there, they had taken both guns. They had taken his knife, even though he cut one of them up a little bit. They had beat the hell out of him and hog-tied him. That is who we need to be. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the other side a little bit. Oh, yeah, and the SummerSlam's going on tonight, too, I think. Big WWE event. Jon Stewart's at that. People want him to moderate a debate. How can that be? We'll be right back. It's all about the game. And how you play it, all about control. If you can take it, all about you. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries 3-hour classic Sunday evening tour as we turn this rig around and head in for the second half of the show. Don't forget, at 8 o'clock, Armed American Radio will take you live until 11 o'clock with some great live talk radio. 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. The Rays are still playing. The game should be wrapping up pretty soon. I hope we'll check on that during the next break, see where they're at. But, yeah, that's... that's our ode to Elizabeth Warren, half breed there, you know. Yes, it's the Indian squaw, part Cherokee. Real quick though, before I get out of Trump, I just want to just a couple things to follow up. He is leading in Florida, latest Quinnipiac poll, I think it was, 20-17 over Bush, and then the rest are following behind that. And 57% of people in the GOP, Republican voters, now think Donald Trump will win the nomination. 49% of all Americans think Donald Trump will win the nomination. We've come a long way, baby, haven't we, in just a few short weeks here. And I think it's going to continue. I think it's great. I think he's bringing a lot of good things to politics. And once again, I'm looking at this election, not only as can we win, can we beat the Democrat, but who can be the president that we need to be? We can't have another, you know, sort of a maintenance guy who's just going to try to get things, you know, get a few little things done and kind of not let things get worse. No, we need radical change. We need it right now. Who will do that? Who of the candidates will do that? I can see only two that I can say definitely would: Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. Ben Carson, good possibility. The rest of them, not quite so sure. And I'm really not quite so sure about Carly Fiorina either. Although she is definitely showing that she's got some certain, let's just say, ruthless political instincts. Watch out, Donald. All right, so once again, they're going to be coming after Donald hot and heavy after Labor Day, going into this next debate, and in particular, if he does good in it again. That's all they can do. And it's sad. It really is sad that if he's such a lousy candidate, if he's such a clown, why are they going to have to resort to the same old tried and true attack ads, you know, personal attack ads, in order to take care of him? You would think if they're great, skilled politicians, great orators, that they could put him in his place quite easily. No, we don't have a great field on either the Republican or, of course, the Democratic side, because they're all standard, dyed in the wool politicians. And Donald Trump is not. But Donald Trump understands how to get things done. He understands how to manage people. That's what the presidency is about. Two things essentially, and two things only: management skills and sales skills. He's got to be able to sell his ideas, not only to his staff and his followers, but he's got to be able to sell them to the American public, and he has to be able to sell them to the world. Who is most capable of doing that? Donald Trump, without question. Who has the best management skills? Donald Trump, without question. All right? If you want a half-butt lousy president, you will elect pretty much any of the others, with the exclusion of Ted Cruz and Ben Carson. The rest of them? Lackluster. Milk toast, lukewarm at best. All right, so that brings us to the half-breed. Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden. Elizabeth Warren met in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Joe Biden came back from his vacation to meet with her in Washington, D.C. I don't know if she was already there or if she came down from her home in Massachusetts to meet with the vice president, but obviously they did. Wouldn't you love to have been a fly on the wall of that meeting? I'm pretty sure two things were on Joe Biden's mind when he requested the meeting with Elizabeth Warren, which he did. Those two things are, first and foremost, Elizabeth, do you plan on running? Okay, if you don't plan on running, would you consider endorsing me and possibly being my vice presidential candidate? That is what was discussed. And who knows what was said? I'm pretty sure that they did a little kissy-kissy, made nicey-nicey, even though they have had some differences on policy. I do believe that she is not enamored with Bernie Sanders, because he's stealing her thunder, basically. And she does, and I'm pretty sure she despises Hillary Clinton as well, because she sees Hillary Clinton as a phony and as someone who's untrustworthy. Who, by the way, Democrats also agree with that. When it comes to trustworthiness, she is way upside down. Pretty much two-thirds of the people say she is not trustworthy. One-third of the people say she is trustworthy. Compare that to Joe Biden, it's exactly the opposite. Approximately two-thirds of the people polled say he is trustworthy, and about one-third say he is not. And once again, there's that personality thing, right? Personality thing is so important here. Trustworthiness, likability. These are not policy things. These are personality things. And the Republicans think that it's something wrong that people make decisions based on this. No, there's nothing wrong with it at all. You know, we're going to be led by the person who's the president. Why should we not have to like them, right? Why shouldn't that be important? It should be. Trustability, likability, strong personality traits, these will always be important because we're talking about human beings and human conditions who have emotions, and these things all come to play in decision making. And for people, you know, once again, the highbrow Republican establishment types who think that, oh, this is beneath politics. This is beneath the dignity of running for the presidency of the United States. They need to get their heads out of their butts and look at the world as it really exists. Politics is the nastiest sport of all. It will always be. It will always be popularity contests because we're talking about someone who we want to have to, we want to like. If we're going to be led by somebody, we want to like them. We don't want it to be somebody we don't like. It's just human nature. And it ain't going to change, ever. And if the Republicans don't understand that about elections, then they're still going to find it difficult to win them. I don't care what the numbers are. And this is once again, Donald Trump understands all of this. He knows how he comes across, but he also knows that he is a likable person. And if you don't believe me, just ask all the women and the evangelicals and the educated moderates who like him. And the blacks. He is attracting demographics Republicans have been lamenting that they have been losing for years. And they have a problem with it because it's not them doing it. See, they don't like it that he is the one that's doing it. Get back to Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. So I think that this definitely means Joe Biden is leaning toward getting into the race. I don't think that he would go this far if he were not giving it very, let's just say that it's tugging on him. All right, this is a guy who's run for president, what, about half a dozen times now? Why not do it? What has he got to lose, right? He's 72 years old, or he would be in 2000, 70 years old. And after the vice presidency, what is he going to do? So what has he got to lose? And that's got to be running through his mind, and of course, and his son's deathbed wish has got to be running through his mind. And the opportunity has got to be looking pretty sweet right now, too. And then the president, I'm sure, has given him reassurance that should he get into the race, that in the primary, the president will appear to be neutral, but he'll do little things. He'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you, Joe. And I'm sure that the president would wholeheartedly endorse him and campaign for him should Joe Biden get the nomination. So Hillary Clinton's campaign is obviously worried, but they think still, though, that she is going to get the nomination, and that if they just keep her on this, you know, she's the champion of the little guy shtick, that will be enough to get her to win the presidency. But once again, I don't think so. She just doesn't have the personality traits that people want in their leader. And so, yes, we elected Barack Obama as an affirmative action president, but you gotta hand it to the guy. He came across as more likable, more empathetic, more caring, more the regular guy than either John McCain or Mitt Romney at the end of the day. And I don't care how smart Mitt Romney was, he still ain't president, is he? So in a way, he got outsmarted by Barack Obama. So I guess it doesn't say much about him in terms of his leadership or political skills at the end of the day, does it? You see, we can't blame our losses on the other side if they outplay us. All we can do is look and see what we did wrong and be better next time than the guy on the other side. That's what Donald Trump is showing us. But I don't want any of you other Republicans to notice it, because then you might actually implement some of his style yourselves. We can't have that happen, no. That's beneath the dignity of the pursuit of politics. What a joke. Politics is down in the dirt. It's gutty. It's the nastiest of all sports because it is the pursuit of raw power, the ability to exert one's will upon the world. And therefore, it will always be the dirtiest, the nastiest, the most brutal of all sports. But we're the good guys here, so please don't go away.
Baloney.
Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries as we're closing out the second hour of our three-hour tour here on Sunday night. The Rays are in the top of the eighth out there in Oakland. They're losing, however, 8-2 right now. So that game's most likely going to wrap up here pretty soon. When it does and when we go back up on FM 105.5 and AM 660, the answer, I'll certainly let you know. So if you're listening on 1520 WBZW, you can go up the, or back down the dial or go over to the FM side if that's better for you. If you're listening on AM 660, theanswer.com, let's stay right there where you're at because you got probably the best reception of all. Okay. As I said, Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden, we shall see if there was any deal made over the next few weeks. By the way, Joe Biden does not feel like he has to make a decision right away. That would indicate to me that he still wants to play a little bit of wait and see, but it also indicates to me that he's probably gotten some reassurance from some of his donors who have helped him in the past that should he decide to run, that they will be there with some bucks for him. So we'll see. We'll see. But obviously, Hills is in big, big trouble. And the Democrats understand that she is not Bill Clinton when it comes to her political skills and her skills as a candidate. They would still certainly like to salvage, I believe, her candidacy. But believe you me, if it comes push to shove and this situation gets worse with her and her numbers, they will jettison her. What she does have going for her is they do have a pretty solid ground game. She polls a little bit better in the southern states still than she is in the, New Hampshire and Iowa. Nonetheless, though, she's on very, very thin ice. And as I've said on the show before, when people are, as you're walking around at the Iowa State Fair and people are shouting things at you like, do you think you're going to go to prison? That's not a good sign for your campaign. And in fact, this is certainly depending on which legal authority you talk to, she has already broken the law or she certainly has come close enough to it that it warrants a thorough investigation, and which is what the FBI has set out to do. So, but it's great political theater, isn't it? At least this time, it's the Democrats who are having to sweat their potential nominee. But once again, Donald Trump is standing head and shoulders above all of the rest of the candidates. And I believe that he is just what the doctor ordered. He is like the fellow who said, and this was a Republican strategist, and they had a couple of them on there talking on Meet the Press, and the one was saying, oh yeah, he's doing good now, but it'll fade out. He'll never get more than 25-30% of the Republican voters to support him, and as these other candidates go away, well, their support is going to go somewhere else. I hardly think so, but he said there's no chance of Donald Trump getting a nomination, and just keep talking like that, Cap Mayhab. And then the other guy, though, he said, well, I'm not so sure about that. You know, we've been wrong about this guy before. And what Donald Trump is doing is he called him a manly candidate. I kind of like that, right? We don't need any more girly men. We need manly men to lead this nation in this particular time. And I dare say, if a woman gets elected president, she needs to be a manly woman. And what I mean by that is she's going to need to be strong. She's going to need to be perceived as tough, as nails, smart, strong, assertive, authoritative, and in a sense, cold-hearted. And Hillary Clinton, although she does meet the cold-hearted category, I don't think she meets the other ones very much at all. She definitely does meet the cold-hearted category, though. Cold everything, you might say. We need a strong, assertive president. We need a strong, assertive federal government. We need a strong, assertive military. We need a strong, assertive America. And not only do we need it, but the world needs it. The world wants it. The world wants it. Yeah, I was reading an article recently in this weekend, I believe, Wall Street Journal, about how Saudi Arabia now is not only are they looking to Israel for, you know, an allegiance, if you will, but they're also now looking also to Russia. Yeah. And why are they looking to Russia? Because they know they can't, at least with this administration, rely on the United States of America. And see, the problem is, once they've set these things in motion, it won't just stop when Barack Obama leaves office in 2017. What they set in motion now is going to have inertia. It's going to have momentum. It's going to carry forward so that the next president, that's the world he's going to find. And so it's going to take a president of extremely strong stature and will to begin to clean up the mess. And it is a mess everywhere you look. This world is so much worse off. Now, you can say it was pretty bad when Barack Obama inherited it, and it was. But is there anywhere where it is better since? No. It's only gotten worse. Oh, one of the economies recovered. No, the economy hasn't recovered. The economy is barely hanging on. And the Fed and the government's now telling us that if there is another crisis, they don't know what they're going to do. Because they done used all their ammunition. They wouldn't know what to do. That's why we need somebody in office who does know what to do. And who would know what to do from day one. And this is what is emanating from Trump. Is that he is, and he would, and he could. And we're not yet getting that from any of the other candidates. A little bit maybe from Cruz, and a little bit from Carson. Maybe a tad smidgen from Fiorina. But that's about it. It really is. And The puniness of the other candidates is only being highlighted in the way they treat Donald Trump. The only two who have shown any sense of what Donald Trump is doing are Cruz and Carson. They understand that there's more to Donald Trump than the naysayers would have us believe. They understand that he is a man of substance, and I'm not talking about his money. But I'm talking about his backbone, if you will, his principles, his sales skills, and his management skills. And they understand that this is what the American people see in him and respect in him and what they want in their leader. You know, we don't want some wishy-washy, you know, limp spine, limp as a noodle, good for nothing Republican. We want someone who can not only get elected, but can do the job. And do the job the way it needs to be done. And we haven't seen that since Reagan. And I'm here to tell you, what really impresses me about Donald Trump is that he wants to outdo all the conservatives at being a conservative. Now, I don't care if he wasn't a conservative up until 10 minutes ago. If he wants to do now, if his goal is to outdo conservatives at being conservative, I'm sold. Because this is a man who gets results. And I believe, should he get into the White House, it will be his goal to be known as the most successful and conservative president in American history. And by God Almighty, that is exactly what we need right now. We do not need a policy wonk who's going to sit there and tell us how he balanced the budget in Ohio, or how he defeated the union in Wisconsin, or how he started school choice in Florida, because they would be lackluster presidents. They don't have the leadership skills that we need at this moment in time. They are too caught up in the minutia to see the big, big picture. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Sunny, our California glow girl, coming to us live from L.A. You are listening to The American Adversary. As soon as the ball game wraps up, we'll let you know when we go back up on the stick. In the meantime, we're on 1520 WBZW and AM660TheAnswer.com.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW.
Apopka, Orlando.
Community events, financial news, weather, traffic, and more.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, welcome back to the show for hour number three of our three-hour Sunday Classic Tour. That's right, folks, you got the American Adversaries coming to you live on 1520 WBZW and AM660TheAnswer.com from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Please don't forget, for the very best in mercury-free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, 407-678-3399. Christopher Hart alone in the studio with you tonight. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. It is 7 o'clock, so that means it is time for Sunny, our California glow girl, coming to us live once again back home in L.A. That'd be Los Angeles, California. Hey, Sunny, how you doing tonight?
Hi, guys. How are you? Sonny's in a bit of a somber mood. As I was just telling Jeff, I just got the news. My brother is going to be passing.
Oh. Oh, no. My Lord. We're so sorry to hear that, Sonny. My goodness.
No, he's going to be in a better place, guys. That's it. God's going to take good care of him. He's going to be out of pain. And they're going to do research on this cancer because they've never seen a cancer like this yet. So they're the organs are going to go right to the doctor for scientific evaluation, which will improve other patients further along with this type of cancer that they have not seen ever.
Now, this is your brother, Walter.
Yes.
Was he an older?
Yeah, 49 years old, and his birthday would have been September 18th. We're still going to rejoice on his birthday. His 50th, he would have been, hey, he was the best guy. We're going to be happy for him because he's going to a better place now, and he's going to be out of pain.
Oh, well, we're happy for that, but we're sad about your loss, and we feel your sorrow, and certainly we'll keep Walter in our prayers tonight.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. You know, he's going to be up there with, a lot of family members, his dad, his mother, you know, and as we know, there's a better life than here, and that is it, and he's going there, and I just want him to pass peacefully. He's got the great doctor there, the nurses, the hospice. They've already got him, really, the last couple of days. My brother said he's really heavily sedated. He doesn't know what's going on. He was able to know that we love him, and they showed him our pictures from here and said, you know, sis loves you, and that's all I wanted. I wanted him to know, you know, I spoke to him briefly a day before yesterday with the electronic thing that he has, and I said, I love you, and he said, I love you too, to me and Shana, and that was it. You know, that's the piece right here, guys, and I know he's going on to be happy.
Oh, boy.
I just want to continue on, and hopefully, like I was saying, I want to do a squared circle with all the wrestling aficionado out there, and you don't even have to be in the wrestling biz to join this squared circle with hands around the world, which I will do for cancer. and any other type of horrible disease, because I learned a lot from this. I wasn't so cancer aware until what my brothers went through with these type of cancers. And it's opened my eyes a lot to this. And anybody who's been through it, and certainly everyone has had somebody they know that's already either survived it or has not. And, you know, I want to definitely make awareness to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So your other brother is with him?
All my, yeah, my family members there. You know, I'm the only one pretty much out here in California. So they're all out there in Michigan, Ohio, Florida. You know, so I would say probably three quarters of the family is there. Mm. You know, some can't make it. You know, they're scattered. Some aren't even aware. I tried to reach a couple, could not. And that's the way it seems to be in, you know, in matters like this when you're not expected.
Right.
To have. Yeah. This was a short-term cancer. He got it 3 months ago. And it went right from stage four. And I here's something I didn't know, guys, that I thought it was one to four stage. I didn't know there was one to five.
Mm.
There is a fifth stage. That's what they've now, I guess, came up with, a fifth stage of cancer. And that's your final, you know, that's pretty much where they cannot defeat it.
Right.
There's no surgeries. There's no, yeah, yeah. So, yep.
Well, it sounds like your brother is going through this experience with dignity. And knowing that his family is around him, and then knowing that he has, you know, people who love him.
And he's going home.
And he's going home, yeah. So yeah. I take it he believed in God?
Yes, yes. We all believe, my family's all, we're all different religions, but we all believe in God. You know, there's Christian, there's Lutheran, there's Catholic, we have Jewish even, but we all believe in God.
Well.
Yep, yep.
Well, once again, we will pray for your brother Walter tonight as he enters heaven, and pray for you and your family and your friends as well, that you'll have the strength and remember him in positive, you know, memories and you know, have joy in your heart.
Yeah.
Boy, it's tough, though. It's really tough. And our condolences.
I'd like to be there and here, but, you know, at the same time, it's will be my first time to remember someone from such a distance that's such a close member, you know, and yeah, it's kind of tough, but I have to go with what my brothers say, and they said, sis, you don't want to be here, you can't see this, and I will go with that, and I remember Walt when he was young and thriving and happy, and, you know, my brother was a tough man, boy. He was a bit of a biker, wild child, you know, one of the wild Summerlins there,
yeah.
But loved his kids. He raised kids that weren't his. He has a great heart. Great, great man. Yep.
I bet he was tickled to death that his sister was a glow girl, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he showed pictures. He was very proud of me. All my brothers are. Yeah. They're
well,
good. They're a good bunch.
We wish we could be there to give you a hug, but just know that you're family here, and we'll certainly pray. So.
Much appreciated.
Speaking of this, you know, Jimmy Carter came out this week and announced that he had cancer, and it is also a very serious form of cancer, and he handled it with great dignity, even smiling, and it's when people have religion, when they have God in their heart, and they know that they are connected with God, there's a peace, there's a bit of a tranquility, even, I think, that comes over them the closer they get to death. And I suspect that your brother experiences that as well.
Well, yes, absolutely. My one brother was there. He gave him a hug. Here's something for you. We all love camping, and in our family, we definitely love camping. And my brother was an outdoorsman, so what happened was he's in his bed there, and the hospice is around him, and my brother gave him a hug. And he goes, hits him on the forehead. He turns, and mind you, my brothers are big. They make me look like a little peeny little thing. And I'm 5'10", 135 pounds, but my brothers are massive, 6'4", 6'5". And so my brother turns around, and I guess he thought he was leaving out the door. My one brother gets up. Now, mind you, he has no, you know, he can't move. He gets up out of the bed and walks out of the house to a shed. They have a shed there in Ohio. They, you know, they come with those sheds outside.
Right.
And there was a lock on it. He grabs the lock and breaks it and goes in. And what was in there was camping equipment. My other brother goes, oh, my God. Yeah. And they came, it took like four or five people and the nurses to get him back into the bed. But that's something for you right there. And as you go, as you know, and I believe, because I'm I believe I've been there, if you will, in how the transition goes and everything flashes from your childhood, you know, when you were born, you go all through the whole transition. So whatever made him think about camping was something. And to have that will to get up. And then now they've got him, you know, back in, and he's heavily sedated. And now, you know, that's it. But those are the things that you, you know, are like, wow. And that God's there and he's already there. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want. We don't want him to be the way that it's occurred. He looks like a chipmunk, from what my brother said, because what happened is the second form of cancer swarmed his neck area.
Oh.
So it in turn swelled his head in that area. So once that happens, yeah, it's going to close off. It's already closed off his breathing.
Right.
It's just they have that tube that's going through that's keeping him, and that's it. So it's like, no, it's time, you know, that's it. And, yeah, you know, he's going to be in a happier place, much happier than we are, guys. We're on this earth.
Oh, yeah.
Heaven's much more fun.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
So I guess I get sad, but yes, I'm happy because I'm happy he's out of this pain, and he's going to be up there with his family and rejoice and live a better. He's going to be up there riding Harleys. Are you kidding?
No doubt. So, no doubt.
Yeah.
And well, he sounds like a great brother. Wish I'd have had the opportunity to meet him. But once again, our condolences. You know, I just wish we could do more, but it is, it's a cruel disease. It's touched every family. We all know to some extent, you know, what he has gone through, the suffering, the lingering, the aggressiveness of this disease, how it can seem to be gone and then just come raging back. You had said, I believe, that he had dealt with cancer before, but had beaten it, and then it came back.
Well, within a day, he went through 8 hours of surgery, which they removed his, like I said, the voice box.
Intact.
It's called a squamous
cell
carcinoma. The larynx. So the larynx, it was attacked. And then from there on, what happened, they did 8 hours surgery. He seemed to have gotten better. They conquered that cancer. But within 2 days, he contracted another cancer that set in.
And that's why.
This cancer was even more powerful. This is the other one. They don't know what it is. And to this final point, they don't know what this cancer is. And it's super fast. So it just surrounded his whole neck. And there was, of course, he can't go through surgery. They gave him chemo twice, extreme chemo and radiation. And again, that type of, that's where you learn. That's, it can't help. There's nothing at that point. This was already like a fast moving. It was done. And that's when they knew. And the doctor said, we can't do anything. And that's when you're like, oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, it's such a crazy disease, guys. And I hope that these scientists get more research and they figure it out. And like it takes many, including my brother, to donate the organs and to actually give the organs without say so at this point, because they want to know what this cancer is, to help, you know, and to get some answers that hopefully in the near future, and if we support this deadly disease amongst many, we'll get those, you know, and it will save people in our lives that we love and that are gone too soon and too young, like children. Even it breaks my heart when I see these children with cancer, you know, and so on and so forth. It's sad.
Speaking of children, does your brother Walter have children?
Yes, he does. My niece Raven is same age as my daughter Shayna, and they're very close. She's 24. She's there. She's being super strong, guys. And she's on Facebook, Raven Summerland. If you want to go on and pay tribute, that would be nice. She's a super girl. She has a child. He's a grandpa.
Oh.
So, yep. You know, but life as we know it will go on, and they'll be up there looking down on us, laughing, going, oh, you poor guys down there.
You still got to
go through things. I'm up here loving life, you know?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely, with our greatest God. And
Not just that they'll have be in a better place, but one of the great things about having some of our loved ones go before us is that they'll be there to welcome us when we get there and reassure us that we've come to the right place.
Absolutely.
And I know your brother Walter loves you dearly, and I know he will be waiting there for you and Shana and the rest of your family with a big old smile and a big old hug going, come on, let's go for a ride.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the way it works, you know.
Well, Sonny, let's just leave it there tonight. I don't even want to talk about anything else with you right now because I know your mind's on your brother, and that's where it should be. So I just want to thank you for being with us tonight and being a part of the show. And God bless you and your brother.
Thank you. And I thank you and everyone and all the listeners to be part of this. And, and if we can all join in to fight this horrible disease, you know, and please feel free to contact me on my Facebook, and we can start. I'm serious. The hands across the world, just like Michael Jackson did when We Are the World, in something to bring awareness on this disease. Because the more, the merrier in anything, as we know. One mind, two minds are better. Three minds is even greater. So if we can do this, we can succeed and
absolutely
find a cure.
All right. Well, you take
Thank
care.
Thank you.
And hugs to you, and we'll pray for Walter's soul and for you and your family.
Thank you. And sunny hugs back, you guys. You're the best.
Okay.
Have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed evening. And again, God bless.
And the same Bye. To you.
Thank you.
Same
Bye.
To you. Okay. Wow. So once again, please pray for Walter. We'll be right back. That's right, folks. You got the American Adversaries. The game should be wrapping up here shortly, assuming that it does, and assuming we do before the show is over, go back up on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I will certainly let you know. In the meantime, thanks for listening on 1520 WBZW or AM 660 TheAnswer.com. I certainly appreciate it. And that was sad news out of California, with Sunny going to be losing her her brother. Her younger brother tonight, and but we'll pray for him, and he will be in a better place. Speaking of better place, we are in a better place over in France, thanks to the three American heroes who are getting the proper attention in France, even if they're getting fairly decent attention here. Perhaps it should be more. But this, once again, in line with my theme tonight, who we need to be. This is who we need to be. And in a way, this is who we are right now, at least when it comes to our brave military men. I'm sure most, if not all of you, have heard about the three heroes. That'd be Air Force Airman First Class Spencer Stone and Specialist Alexander Skarlatos of the Oregon National Guard, and their friend, civilian Anthony Sadler. They were riding on a train in France when a passenger went into the bathroom and came out with an AK-47, an automatic pistol, and they didn't see it, but he also had a razor knife. And as he was cocking the gun, they without even really thinking about it, they just leapt into action. Let me just read this. This is from Sadler. This is from the civilian. He said, Anthony Sadler, he says, as the terrorist, he said, as he was cocking it to shoot it, talking about the gun, Alec just yells, "Spencer, go." And Spencer runs down the aisle, Sadler told the AP. Spencer makes first contact. He tackles the guy. Alec wrestles the gun away from him, and the gunman pulls out a box cutter and slices Spencer a few times. And the three of us beat him until he was unconscious. God bless every one of you. And then a British passenger by the name of Chris Norman stepped in to help, and the four of them hog-tied the guy. And for those of you who don't know what hog-tied, imagine yourself lying on your stomach, somebody ties your feet, then ties your hands behind your back, and then ties your feet to your hands so that your legs are bent up behind you with your hands behind your back and your feet and your hands tied together, kind of like you might see it at a bull roping contest or something. Obviously, if you're tied in that position, you're not going to go very far I thought it was pretty cool, too, that as the French authorities took the guy away, they just sort of picked him up and carried him away. And as he was hogtied. At least that's what it looked like. I hope that's what they did. And in a more perfect world, they would have taken him down to the jailhouse, and instead of untying him, they would just lashed another rope around the bindings and then thrown that up over a beam and then just hauled him up in the air and let him swing back and forth a little while. That's what he deserves. That's the treatment that he deserves for what he was getting ready to do. And by the way, I would do something very similar to that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the guy who was systematically raping Kayla Mueller, only instead of hog-tying him, I would lash him around his testicles, and then I would haul him up. I would hog-tie him, then roll him over, tie him around his testicles, haul him up, and then let him swing back and forth like a pendulum. That's what we need to do to those people. And then when people say, oh, that's cruel, that's too cruel, I say, okay, you want your head cut off instead? But this is who we need to be. These three Americans, unarmed. They attacked a guy who had an AK-47 and an automatic pistol. They had to have known or at least accepted that they would get wounded, maybe killed in the process. But they just did it. Why? Because they are three brave, bold Americans. That's why they did it. And this is typical of American military personnel, to put themselves in harm's way to protect the innocent. And that's exactly what they did. That is exactly what we do as Americans. That is who we need to be. And that's who we need to be again in the world. We need to be the brave ones who come to other people's rescue. You call it, oh, you want us to be the world's cop. Well, if you want to call it that, fine. I'm not going to argue over semantics. But we need to be the good guys. We need to be the heroes. We need to be the rescuers. The world needs it. And if we're not, then eventually we will be the ones who need to be rescued. We will be the ones who will need the heroes. Because the bad guys will never go away. When they are not dealt with, they only get bigger, meaner, and badder. And that's what the Islamic State is doing, right? They're not going away, are they? They're not satisfied with a piece of Iraq and a piece of Syria. No. They're going to get bigger and badder and meaner until someone steps up and stops them, like these guys did. Like these guys did. This is who we need to be. This is who we need to be, not as just as individuals, yes, but this is who we need to be as a nation, and who we have not been for some time. George W. Bush tried to be this. George H.W. Bush was this when it came to Kuwait. Yeah, he didn't take Saddam Hussein out, but that was never part of the deal. That was never part of the bargain. That was never part of the purpose. That was never part of the plan. We thought we could contain him. We thought he was a balance of power in the Middle East. Little did we know that we had created a monster who would get out of control. Should have known, didn't. George W. Bush? I don't know. Yeah, he did go into Afghanistan, but he didn't do it the right way. Yeah, he went into Iraq, but he didn't do it the right way. And he didn't defend himself when he was attacked. He wasn't who we need to be. If you are going to stand by and let your detractors and your critics make you out to be a buffoon and an idiot and a liar, you're not the leader we need. That's not who we need to be. We need to be somebody who's going to say, no, I didn't lie. I told the truth. And if you think if you want to continue calling me a liar, then you will be the one who is the liar. You fight back. You be the strong leader. You don't be the silent, polite politician. It doesn't work. I don't think it ever worked. Certainly won't work in this world. That's a fact. The bad guys won't let it. They never will. That's why we call them bad guys. And it doesn't matter what the reason is why they're bad. They'll always find a reason. And that's why they have to be dealt with, let's just say, emphatically and quickly. Otherwise, they get out of hand. All right, speaking of out of hand, if you don't have in your hand when you need it a bottle of Roxy Pacifics, then you'll know that you've made a mistake, because this stuff is the greatest thing for burns, cuts, scrapes, bruises, you name it. You need some Roxy Pacifics for it. If you've got a chronic skin problem, Roxy Pacifics can bring you relief. May not cure it, but it can bring you relief. If you have a cut or a burn, this stuff will help it, you know, help it be cured, because it helps your skin grow healthily. It's all natural kelp-based solution that you can use. It's safe to use on any human being. It's safe to use on any animal. So it's great product. You need to have some in your medicine cabinet at home, and you need to have a little bottle that you can carry around with you. And the best way to get some is to go to skinfix.us. So if you want to fix your skin, go to skinfix.us, or you can call the Roxy's on the phone at 619-654-4829. That's 619-654-4829. For the stuff that you need, that everybody needs to fix your skin, go to skinfix.us. Roxy Pacifics. It really, really does work. All right, when we come back, we got another half hour of our three-hour tour to go, so please don't go away. That game should be wrapping up. I'll find out what's going on here during the break. Be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries. And we are in the last half hour of our show, so if you want to call, you better pick up that phone and do it soon. 407-774-8255 is the number. And now tomorrow we're going to have Abe Katzman on the show, and Tuesday Colonel Danny McKnight is going to be back in town and on the show with us. So I certainly hope you'll join us for that. All right. It is normally WTF news time with Johnny Guns, so I'll try to stand in for him tonight with a few WTF news stories of my own. But real quickly, Kathy Santomassino has joined me in the studio now, and she has brought our latest intel brief, which is going to be going out tomorrow. So how's it looking?
I think it looks great. We've got some good articles in there with Mike McBath, you, Carl Jackson. We've got an invitation to our listening audience and guests to come to our September 28th. We're going to have a party, and we're going to have lots of SpaghettiOs.
Our spaghetti challenge, our eating contest.
Yeah. Well, I'm Italian. Anything that isn't homegrown is SpaghettiOs, okay? Anyway, it should be great. Pasquale should be in the kitchen boiling up those SpaghettiOs.
That's right.
It'll be fun.
And that, once again, as Kathy said, by the way, she edits our and makes contributions as well to our intel brief, and it wouldn't look anywhere near as professional and as good as it does were it not for Kathy. So we certainly appreciate her efforts. And to get a copy of our intel brief, well, all you got to do is be a member of the American Adversaries Army. All you got to do to join the Army is go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Zip on over to the recruiting office, and you can sign up right there, or you can do it through the mail. And for a mere $5 a month, you can be a member of the American Adversaries Army. Get your own intel brief. And by the way, besides the articles and things, it has coupons in there, right?
We have coupons from all of our sponsors.
Yeah.
And obviously, our sponsors are growing. So if you're out there and you're a business and you want to be a sponsor and get in our newsletter, we'd love to hear from you. My number's on the back page. You can contact me, and we'll get you on the air.
And not only will you be getting a intel brief as part of the Army, you will also be entered into a drawing for our Come Sail Away With Me cruise.
Somebody's coming up in November.
That's right. Somebody's going to go for free on that there cruise, but you got to be a member of the Army to be in that drawing. All right, so once again, please join the Army by going to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And the first member of the American Adversaries Army, the first official member, is Diane. who's on the line with us right now, I believe. Hey, Diane, how you doing tonight?
I'm going to do my Georgia. Hey.
Hey, Georgia.
Appreciate it.
I love you. You know I love you.
Well, thanks. But we appreciate it. I do. I very much appreciate it.
I agree with everything that Trump says. I agree with everything that he's doing, and it's amazing that he's what he's doing for the, and I don't even want to call it the Republican Party because they've been blasé for way too many years.
So they have. They've been such stick in the muds.
Oh, it's just appalling that, anyway.
Well, you know, I was talking to my brother about it yesterday a little bit, and he said, you know, and I had to agree with him, neither one of us can recall, certainly in our lifetimes, anything like this in politics. Where a guy can basically say the things that he's been saying and actually get away with it. And
yes.
that he gets more support the more he does this stuff.
Well, that's because everybody's over this whole political correctness crap.
I think you're right. And I think that we're over politicians over-promising.
Absolutely.
You know, telling us, promising us the world, and then they get in office, and then they come back, well, we can't do it that way. We got to deal with the realities of it. No, I don't want to hear can't do anymore. All I want to hear from our politicians is what we can do, what we
and
should be doing.
That's what I love about Ted Cruz. On day number one, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this, and this.
Yep.
And it's everything that I want. And he's a godly man. I do not trust Trump.
Well, I understand where you're coming from that aspect. But a lot of evangelical Christians are either looking past that or see something else because they are supporting him, at least the majority.
But I don't believe it. I don't believe the polls.
Well,
really an evangelical, you're not going to go with somebody that's here today gone, oh, yeah, well, this is tomorrow.
Well,
and,
I think in terms of Trump, I think people look at him and look at his behavior and say, yeah, he might be a little rude and in your face, but really, you can't fault the man for his behavior. I mean, when you think about it, whether he professes to be or not, he's actually been a pretty good Christian. In terms of the charitable giving that he's done, in terms of if you're a friend of his, he's the best friend you can have. Certainly, if you're an enemy of his, you don't want to be an enemy of his. But hey, you know that's who he is. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but I think
you talked to Ted's dad.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and I believe, you know, that Ted Cruz is, as you say, he is a man of God. And he is certainly, along with his father, very proud of the fact that they are Christians and that they believe in Christ. And I do believe that that's part of what we need in this country is we need a spiritual revival.
I don't think it's just that. It's imperative. Imperative that we need a man of God.
Well, you're absolutely right. But it's got to be somebody who can, if you will, sell that to the country.
And if you looked at all of the, all my Facebook people and everybody and even the, I don't know, whatever, they're saying that Ted is riding the coattails, you can call it like, of Trump.
Well,
and he's not saying anything about him. He's just riding his coattails.
Well,
and he is gaining money beyond belief.
Well, Ted Cruz, as a matter of fact, is second only to Jeb Bush in terms of the money that he is raising.
And like I told you in the very beginning, it's going to be grassroots that puts this guy in office.
You're absolutely right. And he's got a strong grassroots campaign. But guess who else does? Donald Trump. Donald Trump is developing a pretty strong ground game right now as we speak. And there are efforts going on right here in Central Florida. Some things developing I can't really say right now because they may or may not happen. But it is happening. And once again, this is a guy who knows how to get things done. And if he sets his mind to doing something, he's going to find out, first of all, how others who have succeeded at it have done it. And then he's going to find out people who can help him do it. And the politics is not rocket science.
Yeah.
And I mean, there have been many politicians who have proven that to us, right? And so I believe that Ted Cruz is playing this very smart. He understands that that there is nothing to gain by criticizing Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is obviously what a lot of people are looking for, at least something about him is. Ben Carson's another one who is very smart not to criticize Donald Trump, because they understand that if you criticize Donald Trump, you criticize a lot of people who believe in him. What good does that do you to do that?
None. That's stupid.
Exactly. It's not good politics. And Donald Trump could be a huge help were he not to be the nominee, if the nominee could get his endorsement and get his backing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, once again, I believe Cruz is very smart, and he's positioning himself to be there at the end. And so that's smart politics there.
I believe
and
that.
So, but
and I'm going to be at the Unity Rally in Birmingham, Alabama.
You will be. Oh, congratulations.
I will be.
Well, you'll have to tell when you get back after it's over. I hope you'll call us and tell us all about it.
And Rafael Cruz is going to be there.
Yep. And, you know, he's coming to Central Florida, too, at the end of September.
And I'm going to be at the 912.
Wow. You're going to be all over the place.
And I'm going to start handing out. I have a bunch of thanks to Ed Roxy.
Yep.
I have a bunch of Roxy cards. I'm going to start handing them out. And the first one I'm going to hand it to is Glenn Beck. Because I'm going to meet him personally.
Well, certainly tell him that we hope that his health issues are behind him. We admire him, and we look forward to kicking
absolutely.
His butt.
Your name is absolutely going to be out there.
Okay. Thank you, Diane. God bless you. We love you, too. And I hope to see you. Well, I'm going to see you on the cruise, because you and Jim
absolutely.
Are going on the cruise. That's right.
Absolutely.
So one of you guys might go for free, too. That'd be cool.
Hey, I stand by my people.
I hear you, lady. All right. Thanks, Diane. Appreciate
you.
All right.
Give Laura my love.
We will. We'll definitely do that. All right. Thanks so much. All right. I'm just about out of time in this segment, so the WTF stuff that I had lined up, it can wait. It wasn't nearly as good as the stuff Johnny comes up with anyway. Kathy's over here nodding her head. That's right. All right. Stick around. When we come back, we got one more segment of the show to go, and then you got three more hours of great live radio right here with Armed American Radio. So please stick around. I'll be back. Welcome back to the show, folks. And as we wrap up the show tonight, once again, I want to thank you for being with us, especially because we weren't on the big sticks, so to speak, only on WBZW 1520 and AM 660, The Answer. So that means if you're listening tonight, it means you're a pretty solid fan of the show, and we really appreciate that. And so I'd like you to take the Dreams Come True survey. All you have to do is go to AM660TheAnswer.com, look for the Dreams Come True banner, and you can take the survey. Once you take the survey, you'll be entered into a drawing. Somebody's going to win $5,000. I would love for it to be one of you folks here in my audience, our audience. But you only have until September the 3rd. So please don't dally. Don't dilly-dally around. Please go ahead and take the survey. And at one point in the survey, you'll be asked, what's your favorite show? And please put in American Adversaries or Christopher Hart or something like that so that they'll know that this is your favorite show. Certainly would appreciate that, and who knows, you might be the one to win that $5,000. The only way to be certain not to win it is not to be to enter into the drawing by taking the Dreams Come True survey. So once again, please do that. All right, we got I got a Lloyd Marcus tune lined up for you tonight. It's called We Are Americans, and I think it goes right along with the theme of tonight's show that I've been trying to go back to over and over again, and that is who we need to be. We need to be what we are destined to be, what we have been destined to be, what we have been for a good part of the history of this nation, but who we seem to have strayed away from. And that is, we need to be like the three Americans in France. And by the way, the French president is going to recognize them tomorrow in a ceremony. This is just what the doctor ordered. because France obviously is dealing with Islamic terrorism and Islamic terrorists, and you know, they got to be wondering, you know, where are the good guys in the world? Well, lo and behold, on a French train, it turned out to be three Americans, two in the military. So once again, it was American troops, if you will, coming, although one was an Air Force guy, coming to the rescue of the French. So this is a big deal. This is a big deal. It's a big deal in France, and it should be. And it should be an inspiration for us going forward. This is reminiscent of the guys on Flight 93 who said, let's roll. And then they in essence, brought that plane down, crashed it, rather than have it fly into Washington, D.C. and crash into the Capitol building or wherever. This is what Americans are all about, that we do what others won't do or can't do. And that's, once again, that's what Donald Trump is epitomizing right now. He is the personification of the American can-do attitude. And I believe that this is exactly what the doctor ordered. So I see you sitting over there nodding your head, Kathy.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have negative perspectives of Donald Trump. I myself do, too. I think he's kind of like, you know, the epitome of the narcissist billionaire. But he's got great ideas. I know he would reach across the aisle with the Democrats and get things done. If you're not going to come along with him, I think he'd just basically say, you know, see ya. And you're going to either be in his inner circle or you're going to be a reject. And I'm going to love to see that happen. If he does get the nomination and he does become president, I think you're going to see a lot of Democrats basically bailing, because they're going to realize that the GOP is back. We mean business. And I think we're going to really regain America. He really loves America. This is a guy whose father worked hard. He grew up with a work ethic. His father worked hard. He earned his money. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but he left a legacy of wealth in all his kids. They're all good. They went to college. They don't do drugs. I don't think they even drink alcohol or smoke. And that is how Americans were always perceived. And I think we need to bring back that image. And I think we need to do it with a guy like Donald Trump, who's bigger than life. And I think if anybody can do it, he can do it. And you know what else I see in him, Chris?
What?
A lot is reminiscent of Ronald Reagan. And remember how it was when they didn't think he'd get the nominee?
All right.
And
he was just an actor.
He was just an actor, and everyone scoffed at him because mm-hmm. they thought, he's an actor. What does he know about government and politics?
Right.
And we had 8 years of a legacy that will, I don't think, will ever be repeated any president.
If you want to include the residual effect, we had about, let's see, 8 plus 12, we had about 20 years. Because
right.
the HW economy, even though it had some problems, the boom times really went right on through the Clinton administration, thanks to what Ronald Reagan did. Yeah, he is. He's bigger than life, and he can get it done. And he, as you say, this is what we need. And as I say, this is who we need to be.
And I think he's challenged the whole politically correct theory, which I love, because we are so politically correct now, we can't get out of our own way. And I love the fact that he's challenging everybody who tries to combat him with that. And he's just in their face, and he diffuses the situation flawlessly. I love him in interviews because he really knows how to talk to these liberal journalists like nobody's business.
That's who we need to be, folks.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Kathy, and great work on the intel brief.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. If you'd like to have one, please join the Army. If you are a member of the Army, be watching your email or your mail, because they'll be on the way starting tomorrow. All right. We're going to leave you tonight once again with Lloyd Marcus. You can get his great CD at lloydmarcus.com. That's Lloyd Marcus, MARCUS.com. It's called God, Country, and Love. And tonight's cut is called We Are Americans. And I think this fits right in with what the theme of the show has been all tonight. So once again, thanks for being with me, and we'll be back again next week, and the Rays will be playing early, so they shouldn't be bumping into our show. And please don't forget to catch us tomorrow night. We'll have Abe Katzman on the line, and then Tuesday, on the line, live from Jerusalem, and then Tuesday, Colonel Danny McKnight will be in the studio. So once again, I'm going to leave you tonight with We Are Americans by Lloyd Marcus, and it's from his great CD, God, Country, and Love. So, Jeff, if you got it queued up in there, night, everybody.
We are Americans, good people, blessed by God. A unique experiment which has survived against all odds. With courage and compassion and a yearning to be free, grateful Americans, you and me, stay strong, Americans, in your quest to restore liberty. It's up to you and me to bring us back where we should be. To the words of our Father, penned in truth and dignity, faithful Americans, that's you and me. Though we fought a good fight, there is more. We are